A plan to put wind turbines on high land in Humboldt County continues to move closer to reality. This spring, the environmental impact report arrived on a proposal by the TerraGen company to put turbines, potentially dozens of them, on ridgetops visible to the communities of Scotia and Rio Dell. Humboldt County planners recently extended a deadline for comment on the proposal. The deadline is now June 14th, next Friday. There are some concerns, as you'd expect. Let's hear some of those. Frank Basic is the president and director of legal affairs of Town of Scotia Company, LLC. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Adam Cantor's with us as well. He's a botanist and an employee of the Wiat Tribe. Hi, Adam.
How's it going? Good morning.
You're doing well. Frank, let's start with you and let's explain to people what Town of Scotia Company LLC is all about. It's not every day you hear of a community with that title.
No, we're probably unique. We're about the last company town that exists in California and perhaps in the entire nation. The entirety of Scotia was owned and operated by the Pacific Lumber Company for 150 years. And with its reorganization, the town was split off essentially as a real estate asset, and since that time, in 2007, we've been subdividing the parcels and improving the infrastructure, putting in new storm drains and water and sewer lines and the like, and just becoming more of a modern community. But it's not chartered, and we're an unincorporated area of Humboldt County.
Does that reduce somewhat the powers that you have as a community to have some say into things like projects, like, say, a wind turbine project?
No, we have at least a couple different avenues. First of all, that we have an active and intelligent and well-informed community here, and there is a form of civic governance that's been put together over the years. We have a community services district. In California and in other states as well, there are more community service districts than there are cities, and ours operates essentially as a form of civic governance. They provide not only utilities like water, sewer, storm drainage, parks and recreation, road maintenance and the like, but it's a community center with an elected board. So almost any issue that comes up is discussed in the community at the community service district level.
So Frank, talk about when and how the plan for the wind farm was presented.
Well, it was first presented to us about a year ago, last August. I remember first learning about the details and the massive scope and scale. At that time, TerraGen had essentially begun their public relations program and were holding open houses and giving out some of the detail of what they were proposing. We took note and, with some alarm, regarded the size and scope of the project and began to submit scoping comments to the county, which is the lead agency for land use and planning. The project hasn't changed much since then, but we're kind of in a bum's rush here. I'm an environmental and land use lawyer for the last 30 years. I've never seen a project of this size move so quickly through the environmental review process. As I say, we first learned about it a year ago. Now a draft environmental impact report of 1,000 pages has hit the streets, and we have 9 more days to prepare our comments and recommendations and the like.
Well, yeah, for people who cover environmental issues, as I have over the years, that is a very speedy deadline. We're talking about wind turbines in Humboldt County with Frank Basic, the president and director of legal affairs for the Town of Scotia Company. Adam Cantor's with us as well. He's a botanist and an employee of the Wiat Tribe. If you have questions and comments, you can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Adam, Frank described this as massive. How many turbines are we talking about here, and where is the land in relation to people?
Yeah, it is certainly massive. Thanks for having me again. And we're talking 60 turbines that could be up to 600 feet tall. And Bear River Ridge is around 2,500 feet. So you do the math, these turbines could be about a quarter of the vertical height of the ridge. And in the beginning, you noted that these turbines are going to be visible from Scotia and Rio Dell, but that kind of cuts it short. If anyone's been to the lower Eel River Valley and even the Humboldt Bay area, these turbines are going to be visible from that entire region, and not to mention Humboldt Redwood State Park and the Avenue of the Giants, which are you know, national icons, really. So the visual impact will be quite big, and of course, that's only one of the impacts. You know, we haven't even started to talk about the biological and cultural impacts from this project.
Which is exactly my next question, is are your prime concerns cultural or botanical, or are they pretty much about the same?
You know, about the same, but certainly botanical. What makes this ridge complex so special is it's a huge relic, a coastal prairie complex, which in Northern California, which is more known for its forests, our grassland and prairie habitats are in decline, and we're already less abundant. And the tribes in our area really helped to shape, create, and manage these coastal prairie habitats for edible foods, medicines, wildlife habitat. And then as for the Wiat, the Bear River Ridge area is the southern boundary between the Wiat and the Bear River tribes. And you can see virtually their entire ancestral territory from this site. And so it was really important in that respect. And tribal members view it as a high prayer spot.
And is this, I have to assume this is private land, or this might not have moved nearly as fast.
Correct. It is private land. In California, tribes do have some legal ability to argue for tribal cultural resources that might be outside their own land base. This Assembly Bill 52 was passed in 2016, which is a part of the California Environmental Quality Act, where the agencies have to have consultation with the tribes. Early and in the beginning of drafting a project plan to identify tribal cultural resources that might be within a project area and might be impacted.
So has there been any survey of cultural resources?
Yes, there has. And, of course, this is somewhat confidential, but, you know, it's a mammoth cultural site up there that would be a shame to see impacted. And, you know, one of their solutions to that is simply to have a cultural monitor and a tribal member on site during construction. So if artifacts or burials are uncovered, that could be dealt with immediately. Of course, that isn't really the ideal world for the tribe.
Has Terra Gen offered to do any pre-digging, to do a couple of test holes to see what cultural resources might exist up there?
It's been talked about, but nothing has happened, and nothing has really been officially put on the table, no.
All right, we're talking about the wind turbines in Humboldt County again with Adam Cantor, who is an employee of the Wiat Tribe, a botanist. Frank Basic is the president and director of legal affairs for the Town of Scotia Company. And we did invite Terra Gen, by the way, to come in next week and present its version of the story. We're awaiting some confirmation to hear if somebody from Terra Gen will be coming. Frank, is there a particular bottom line for you? I mean, are any turbines acceptable on these ridges? Would shorter turbines be acceptable? Fewer turbines? I'm trying to find out what the line is for you personally, and then we can talk about the community.
Well, the impact to aesthetics and the nature of our community is such that almost any of these 600-foot turbines would pose a very significant adverse impact. Just let me briefly describe it. The town of Scotia is surrounded by forested hillsides. The ridges at issue rise immediately from the foot of the town of Scotia at the Eel River to 2,400, 2,500 feet, almost the way you look up to see Half Dome at Yosemite Valley. And on top of that ridge, there are meadows and the grasslands that Adam described. And so if you put almost anything up there on that ridge, at least that stretch of the ridge that's visible from Scotia, it's going to have an unavoidable and significant adverse impact, so says their draft environmental document. One of the reasons it's remained undeveloped all these years is that it is sort of a grassland. It's zoned for timber production, But the trees are largely off to one side or the other, and these ridges are undeveloped. Interestingly, Monument Ridge and Monument Mountain, which one of the places they intend to locate, has a monument on it expressly because it is so open and visible from such distances. It's the initial point for all surveys in Humboldt, Mendocino, and Trinity County. Like Mount Diablo, the point was selected in the 1850s because it was visible from everywhere, and from that point you could, by survey reckoning, locate your survey point.
So as Adam pointed out, that to say that this is just visible from Rio Dell and Scotia really understates it.
Yes, it's the most visible. It's the most impact. Scotia is ground zero for all of the impacts here because there will be, you know, up to 300 people or more during the intensive construction stage, and they'll all be looking for a place to park their cars and buy lunch, and Scotia is the closest community. But, you know, the impacts go far and wide. The scope and scale of this project is just so big, it's hard to know where to begin with all of those turbines proposed, and especially the intensive construction stage. There'll be more greenhouse gases and dust and noise and the like than our community can stand.
Now, the community did have a meeting recently, I noticed, at a theater downtown to talk about this. And what was the, can you describe the mood in the room, Frank?
Well, you know, it was, I was not one of the parties noticing the meeting, and I'm not associated with the committee, but I agreed to be a panelist, and I was surprised. There were probably 100 people or more. The bright lights kept me from seeing how many folks were there, but the mood was almost universally against the project, and people had a number of concerns, from worry about fire danger to ecological damage. The project is noted that it will kill threatened and endangered species to some degree, including marble murrelets and raptors and the like. And so this was a meeting to call the community and get their views and find out how they feel about it. Previously, all the meetings that I had attended, a couple few, were put on by TerraGen, and they were essentially public relations slideshows and the like. But after the EIR was out, people got to read for themselves what the project entailed, and the concern was palpable.
So the EIR, of course, is the result of, when we say Environmental Impact Report, that's a CEQA document, CEQA being the California Environmental Quality Act, and you said 1,000 pages, and it showed up in April, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and so is that what people are able to comment on until June 14th?
That's right. This is called a draft Environmental Impact Report. The comments will be considered and responded to. As I say, this was a rush job, and so many of the mitigations and reports and studies are either ongoing or won't be undertaken until after the project is approved. One of the major objections to the way this draft is formulated and was distributed is that it defers study and mitigations to some future time out of the public view and in a black box, with consultation only with the planning department. And so I've identified at least 27 such plans and programs and proposals that won't be undertaken until later, but they're marshaled as if they will be complete mitigation to ameliorate or eliminate adverse impacts.
Okay, and again, we do hope to get the folks from TerraGen onto the program next week. Adam Cantor, have there been any discussions at a higher level, not just community meetings, but between TerraGen's company people and the Wiat tribe or the Bear River tribe or anybody else that you're aware of?
Yes, I was talking about the AB 52 consultation,
right?
That's part of the California Environmental Quality Act requirements. And yes, we've had a couple of very uncomfortable meetings with the Wiat Tribal Council and TerraGen, you know, kind of where they're trying to pitch the project, sell the project. And the council and our natural resources department really just isn't having, you know, any of it. One thing that they kind of repeatedly has asked me to do because of the sensitive plant communities that occur on the ridge, they keep asking me if I will work with them to develop an ethnobotanical restoration plan to mitigate impacts from the project. And to me, that kind of seems like throwing in the towel. You know, we're not going to going to give in to such requests unless the project is pushed through. And so right now we're really advocating for no project. As some of the tribal elders point out, you know, this is the earth's wind. This isn't anyone's wind for the taking. And it should be there for the birds. One big concern that the council also has is for the reintroduction of the California condor, which is in the works. It's an immensely sacred bird to the tribe, as are other raptors like the golden eagle, which this complex is a huge habitat area for the golden eagles and will be most likely for the condor. And that has lots of concerns for tribal members.
And we have an email here from Cynthia, who wants to point out that we're talking about 17 miles of newly paved roads and a 25-mile clear-cut transmission corridor and thousands of trips by 90-foot trucks. So we haven't talked about these yet, Frank, but they're all in there, aren't they?
They are. It's hard to imagine, but this wind power project creates more greenhouse gases than any project we've ever encountered in Humboldt County. There are going to be a million gallons of diesel fuel will be consumed during the construction stage. The 17 miles of permanent road, some of which will have to be as wide as 200 feet where they contour and adjust the elevations, because they're going to have to get these giant gantry cranes in to lift and assemble these turbines. I mean, imagine they're 600 feet tall. The crane has to be bigger than that in order to lift the propeller blades and nacelles and the like into place. Then the power is going to be transported across country through forests for 25 miles with a 100-foot-wide linear clear cut in order to keep tree limbs and the like away from these high tension wires. And that'll have to be maintained forever. Obviously, you don't want the trees growing back or into the wires, and there'll be a management process of utilizing herbicides and the like. They can't maintain that length by hand.
Okay, so clearly a bunch of concerns here. Now, the comment period's open until June 14th, and those are taken in by the Humboldt County Planning Office, which is responsible for overseeing what happens with the TerraGen facility proposed for Monument Ridge and Bear River Ridge. Frank Basic is the President and Director of Legal Affairs for Town of Scotia Company, and Adam Cantor is a botanist and employee of the Wiat Tribe. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thanks for having
me. Thanks so much.